So again, good morning. It's great to see you all here today. And as we began last week talking about holy habits, and we kind of defined that and talked a little bit more about what they mean and how these holy habits or these spiritual disciplines help us both confront our sin and our will. I've mentioned it before many times that when I was in college, I was a part of a Campus Crusade for Christ. And that time for me was just incredibly formative. It was I was discipled by some really wonderful men and women of God, and they helped me understand the depths of a relationship with Jesus. And it was during the summer when I was on a short-term mission trip where I was first exposed to Richard Foster's book, The Celebration of Discipline. And it was in that same summer, I remember reading and studying a passage of scripture from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if I were to take a guess, and, you know, we could call it an educated guess, but if I were to take it a guess, I would say that everybody in this room at one point, or maybe perhaps still is, a child, right? Is that a fair guess? We've all been children at some time or another. Wives, please don't point out your husbands at this point, right? Now, I'm talking about real children, not the grown-up kind. But because we have all been children at some time, that means that we've all been disciplined. And you know, as Mike talked a little bit about discipline, I'm not strictly talking about being punished for doing something wrong. I'm talking about discipline. You know, discipline could be translated as an activity or an exercise, a regimen that develops or improves a skill. It's training. And so some disciplines that we might have as parents that we try to teach our children, right? The discipline of brushing your teeth every day, right? It doesn't come normal. We have to be disciplined. We have to be taught that brushing your teeth is a good and right thing. Turning your socks right side out when you put them in a laundry is a discipline. It's something wives don't point to your husbands. Again, don't do that. But that's something, right, that we have to be taught. You know, we get the laundry. Sophia, turn your socks right side out. Turn your socks right side out. But, you know, it goes even more deeper than that. You know, bringing your children to church is a godly discipline. You know, I remember when I was younger, my sister and I, on Sunday morning, right, miracles would happen because that was the day that Katie and I decided that we were going to get along. And we got along because we wanted to be very quiet, not so we would not wake up mom and dad. Because if we didn't wake up mom and dad, that there was a chance that then we wouldn't have to go to church. But you know, my mom and dad, they continued to take Katie and I to church because it was a discipline. They wanted this to be a part of our lives. And as I grew up, going to church became something that I craved. It wasn't something that I had to do. It became something that I wanted to do. And we could say the very same thing for reading our Bibles, for praying, for giving. All of it is something that we learn. I mean, is it any wonder that discipline and disciple look so much alike? They have a lot of the same letters. You know, when we are invited to deny ourselves, to take up our crosses, and to follow after Jesus, why do we think it's always going to be pleasant? And so, you know, this morning I wanted to focus on the holy habit or the spiritual discipline of fasting. Now, fasting is described in Scripture as abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. It's a tool that God has given to us to use in the midst of our lives. Now, before we go too much further, I want to talk about what fasting is not. Let's dispel some of the myths. First of all, fasting is not a command. Right? Nowhere in Scripture are you going to find a passage that says that all believers are supposed to fast. Right? Our freedom is in Christ, and the spiritual disciplines are to be used as a tool, not as a way to shackle us down or to chain us or bind us, but to set us free. Therefore, fasting is an invitation. Fasting is not a hunger strike. This isn't something that we do to manipulate or to twist God's arm. When we fast, we are not gaining power or claiming authority. We are accepting less to gain more. Fasting is not a diet, right? It isn't about health or vanity. There are certainly physical, positive physical attributes to fasting, but again, this is not about what we gain. Any of the spiritual disciplines are more about this voluntary poverty that we take on. We give up something what is good to gain what is better. Now, fasting is not a spectator sport. You know, I will never ask you if you are fasting. Your disciplines, your holy habits are between you and God. Now, I will encourage you and I will certainly help you. And if you have questions about fasting or any of the other disciplines, I would be more than happy to talk to you about that. This isn't to say, though, that fasting can't be a corporate practice. Now, there are many times in Scripture that we find a group of people engaging in a fast together. You know, for instance, in the book of Esther, we read, "Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, 'Go and gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. And then when this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.'" Right? Esther was going to see the king, and she knew she needed spiritual backing. And fasting is just another way of calling on, proclaiming, "God, we need you. We need you more than we need food." And Jesus chimes in on this spectator sport aspect of fasting on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says this: "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, because they love to disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." You know, Foster says that the practice of the Pharisees was to fast on Mondays and Thursdays because those days, Mondays and Thursdays, were market days. And because they were market days, they would have the greatest audience or the biggest audience to see and appreciate their piety, their deep spirituality. And so all those things are what fasting is not. So let's talk a little bit now about what fasting is. And so let's go back to what Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus says, "But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now, I believe most of us here this morning have this deep desire to be more intimate, more devoted to God. But something inevitably gets in the way of that devotion. This desire that we have to give our hearts to God is also filled with this heart, this desire for things. The weakness of our hunger for God is not because God is unsavory. You know, as John Piper puts it in A Hunger for God, he says, "We keep ourselves stuffed with other things. In other words, we are so full on food and entertainment that we have no appetite left for God." Now, is there anything wrong with food or television? And of course not, right? These things aren't bad. And because they're not bad, we often don't blame them or we don't recognize them as the reason for our lack of hunger. You know, Piper continues, he says, it is not our feasting with the wicked that typically robs us of our hunger for God, but the constant nibbling at the table of the world that leaves us so full that we have no appetite left for God. Fasting is a discipline that which tries to recapture our heart or our hunger for God. It says to God, I am willing to forego anything in order to be in your presence. It provides an atmosphere whereby we are prepared to face the dulling effects of food and all these other things that we constantly nibble on that dulls our appreciation for God. Fasting expresses a passion to know God more. You know, sometime after Moses watched the Lord part the Red Sea, he says to God, "God, I want to see your glory." I mean, think about that for a second. Moses just saw God part the Red Sea. Wall of water here, wall of water here, dry ground here. And Moses says to God, "God, I want to see your glory," as if he just hadn't already seen it. Really, but for Moses, the only glory that he wanted to rest in was the presence of God. It's with this type of heart, the one that longs to bask in the presence of God, that we need to consider this biblical discipline of fasting. Now, Richard Foster says that more than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. You know, fasting helps us to uncover what's really inside. You know, for example, if you're someone who eats in order to feel better or to forget, then the absence of food will help make that clear. Fasting can help to reveal to us just how much pain or pride or anger is within us. And you've heard that expression about someone who is hangry, right? Snickers did a hilarious ad campaign with that slogan that you are not you when you're hungry. Yeah, there we go. Betty White. Joe Pesci was another one of the people there. Right? Is it my food? Is it the lack of food, or is it something else? And because we can easily rationalize our anger and simply say, well, it's because I'm hungry. But maybe there's an anger that comes out within us when we don't get what we want. And so fasting invites us to examine, to investigate the root of our anger. You know, going back to Jesus, when he fasted for 40 days and then was sent out into the desert, the very first thing he was tempted with was food. "Come on and eat," Satan would say. "Come on and eat. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with food. In fact, if you are really the Son of God, then turn these stones to bread." You know, not only was Jesus hungry, but Satan was also questioning his relationship with God the Father. "If you are the Son of God," he says. And Jesus simply replied, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." It's a way of saying, fasting is a way of saying that from time to time, having more of the giver is better than having the gifts. It's, in other words, we express to God, "Food is good. Yes, praise God, food is good. I love food. God, your many gifts are good. They're wonderful gifts. But God, you are better than the gifts. I need you first and foremost, not just what you give to us." It helps us to restore our focus upon ourselves and for the good things that God places in our lives. It helps us to focus upon the giver. Helps us to make sure that God remains preeminent and above everything. And this kind of God-centered fasting tenderizes our hearts to help us find our contentment upon him rather than simply the gifts that he gives to us. And so if you haven't tried fasting before, or if it's been a little while, then here's my suggestion. You know, amazingly, there's no instructions in Scripture about how to fast other than simply don't look like the hypocrites, right? Take care of yourself. You know, put the old dippity-doo in your hair or the whatever it is. And, you know, wash your face. That's all good things. Because this is just simply a part of life, right? They didn't have to be taught how to fast because this was simply a part of what they did normally. And so here's my suggestion. Simply pick a meal that would work best for you. Breakfast works, lunch works, dinner works, right? Because it's not the activity, it's not the time, but it is the heart that is behind it. And so pick a meal that you can that you would be able to set aside so that you might feast on something that is greater. And you're reclaiming your week that's in your bulletin this morning, I suggest that we try Thursday lunch. Is there something special about Thursday lunch? Not at all. It's just an easy day to pick. You know, okay, it's Thursday lunch. We're going to set that aside and we're going to fast. And if you can't do Thursday lunch, you can do Tuesday dinner. Do Tuesday dinner. That's awesome. But take that time and instead of eating, you know, remove yourself and spend the time reading. And I specify reading Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And as you read that passage, right, and again, there's nothing special about that passage, and we'll continue to talk about other passages that we can read as time goes on. But as you read, go slowly as you read. Savor the words, right? Let them roll around in your mouth a little bit. Read the passage out loud. Oftentimes when we're reading by ourselves, we read in our heads, and that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But read the words so that other senses are involved as you read it. You know, I'm a paper Bible person, but you know, one of the benefits of reading the Bible on your phone, like on the YouVersion, is that you can read different translations. You know, you have another couple different translations, but read it from multiple translations, and after you've done reading it, reread it. You know, read the passage and then simply sit with it. And let the word be with you. And talk to God about what you just read. Invite God to speak to you about, well, whatever he might want to speak with you about. I realize that some of us may have a health condition which wouldn't allow us to safely fast. You know, I would suggest talking to your doctor about something like that. Or you can look for an alternative. Because what is important is what's at the heart of the act is what's important. Right? It's the forsaking of something good for something that is better. Maybe you're a routine coffee drinker, right? You couldn't imagine going without a cup of coffee or a mug of, carafe of coffee every morning. Set your coffee aside. You know, you're going to feel it, but set the coffee aside. Right? It's not a legalistic act. We do not want to turn this into legalism. Right? You need to discern what the Lord is telling you, speaking to you about your participation during the week. Should you fast? You know, I can't answer that for you. Though my prayer is that you would embrace fasting as part of your walk with God. You know, I pray this for my church, that I want us to see us as a body growing more and more hungry for God. That our passion for Jesus wouldn't simply grow so that our cups would overflow, but that we would be completely doused with a thirst for God. Because God wants to reveal more and more to us. And may we put ourselves in a position which invites him or gives him permission to be able to do that. So let's pray together. Gracious God, we are grateful for you. And Lord, we could spend an entire lifetime thanking you for all of the things that you've done for us. Lord, keep us from focusing simply on that, and let us remember you and who you are. Yes, Lord, your gifts are good. Your gifts are wondrous. But Jesus, what we really need is you. Lord, help us to feast on who you are. Help us to fill ourselves with your presence. Jesus, we pray all this in your precious name. Amen. You know, as we sing, we've got there are words listed. There's a monitor up there, and I have them here, and I try not to go back and forth, because when I go back and forth, I wind up singing the wrong line, and I can get lost very easily. And life can be a little bit like that, right? When our eyes flirt back and forth from different things, and you know, we follow Jesus, and it's like, oh, but the world says this. We follow Jesus, oh, but the world says this. And it can become very easy for us to get lost, and we lose our place. You know, the spiritual disciplines, these holy habits, are practices that help us align ourselves to what God is saying, right? We remind ourselves that although, right, food, there's nothing wrong with food. Praise God for food. God made food to taste good, right? It all could all taste like Brussels sprouts, but God didn't do that. He makes food to taste really good. And I do like Brussels sprouts. They're just easy to pick on. But God doesn't do that. So we can say, you know what, food is awesome. Food is great. But I can set that aside, because what I really need is Jesus. What I really need is God. It keeps us oriented. It keeps us focused on what is truly important. Let's pray. Gracious God, Lord, we do recognize that in our world today, there are so many things that clamor for our attention. And so, Lord, we are grateful for these practices that help us to make sure that we are aligned to you. And so, Jesus, we pray that we would feast on you, that we would enjoy your company, that we would dig deeper down and further back in our relationship with you. Help us with this, Jesus, we pray. It is in your holy name that we pray this morning. Amen.